Jesus' side. Sometimes we say, I want you on my side, but really the question is, are we on his side? And just know that you might be in the middle of a storm, you may have gone through a storm, you may even be seeing a few storm clouds on the horizon. We raise a hallelujah, amen. And just know that even in the middle of the storm, you can be victorious and you can rise above it, knowing whose God you serve. And we love him, we worship him. We trust that you've been having a wonderful Christmas. Who's been having a good Christmas? Been doing something? Who's been eating lots of food? Who hasn't? No. but why don't you take a seat? Say hello to a couple of people just as you're sitting down and just say how glad you are. Wish them a happy Christmas and a new year to come. Bless God. Well, we had a wonderful time together here Christmas Eve, a great time of celebration, and then again on Christmas Day. It was so good having our daughter Hannah come to preach, and we're just blessed by the word she brought. But just trust you've had some opportunity to connect with some people. If you're here for your first time, or you've traveled, you're here with family, we just welcome you, make yourself at home. And if we can do anything that's going to help your stay to be a good one, please let us know, and we'll see if we, you know, do what we can to help you with that. But today we are incredibly blessed to have Pastor Tony and Robin with us. They're part of the Aspire Church family. They've been attending the Clyde North service, but for many of the weeks of the year, Pastor Tony, he'll be traveling all over the state and occasionally interstate and overseas as well. He's certainly been quite extensively involved in ministry, written many books on leadership, and he's teaching pastors and leaders about how they can really aspire to do more and to do better in that which God has called and positioned them to do. And it's an incredible blessing that we've got Pastor Tony who will be sharing with us in this morning's service. But before Pastor Tony comes, just letting you know, we have announced this earlier on as a part of our Heart for the House Sunday and then the weeks following. This year coming, as a part of 2020 Vision, we are going to be starting a branch of Alpha Crucis College here as a part of AC, Aspire Church. I reckon that's pretty cool. And we'll be kicking that off in the very first week of March. And you may be interested in being a part of that journey. We have a fully accredited certificate for in ministry that we're going to be hosting here. And also there's other options if you're interested in doing further studies, for example, doing a diploma. That is also an option for you if you would rather do something a little bit more advanced and you know, push your brains a little bit harder. Who knows, that's a good thing to do sometimes. Really realizing the potential that God's got in our lives. But please don't wait until the week before the first week of March to be thinking about that. Start the conversation now. And if you'd like to know a little more, or even just let Pastor Tony know, he's going to be overseeing the college and the course. If you'd like to know a little bit more about that, or even just giving me details so you can talk further in the month ahead, please come and see him following the service, and I'm sure you'll be greatly inspired. But let's just put our hands together as we welcome Pastor Tony as he comes to share with us this morning. Thank you. God bless you. Yeah, I think you can use that one. Yeah, cool.
Am I on? Terrific. Yeah. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I saw an interesting sign coming here this morning. We're coming, I think it's Pound Road, is that what it's called? Yeah. Coming through, and it says, "Welcome to Hampton Park." And then as you go over, I bet you've never seen that, you all live here. Anyway, driving over, it says, "Happiness is just over the horizon." And I thought, well, there was Aspire Church. So I thought that was an interesting thing that happened. How are you feeling after Christmas? Pretty good, yeah. Some of you look like you've had a bit too much sugar. You're a little bit hyped up. Rob and I decided that we would go out for lunch for Christmas, so we went to a place where you buy a meal, and boy, this meal, I tell you what, it could feed a refugee camp. Was that much food? I felt guilty about it for about 2 minutes, but that was about all. And I worked out what to do with the couple of kilos that I've gained, and that is to do exercise during the year. I think I'll start on the 1st of December, and I'll start then working through it. It's a good time. Well, it's a good plan there. Well, can we have the first PowerPoint up, please? Wonderful. If you could open with me with your Bibles, please. Looking for a good year, 2020. And if you would open with your Bible through to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. Just want to share something. Charmaine sent me a whole list of things I have to do, but since she's not here, I'm not going to do them. So, is that right? Yeah. She told me if I didn't follow them, that Jason would pick me up and throw me out the door. But that's the only thing I'm really afraid of. Okay. My iPad is not working. Anyway, we'll go with this. Okay, Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 through to 21. It says here, "Do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and you shall not know it. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, the rivers in the desert, and the beasts of the fields will honor me, the jackals and the ostrich, because I will give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to drink of my to my people, my chosen. For this people I have formed for myself, and they shall declare my praise." And then I come across to Isaiah 40, and the last verse, verse 31 says, "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And then a familiar passage from the book of Acts that I'm sure as Pentecostals that you're very familiar with. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind that filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared upon them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Let's just pray and ask God to open this passage to us today. Father, Lord, we just come in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your presence and for this wonderful church and for the future that's before us. And Father, as we step into the year 2020, that you would guide and lead us. And Father, I pray that you would just speak through your speaker, that only you would be seen, the presence of Jesus would be here, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Bless God. Let's get myself a little organized here. Today I want to speak to you on the subject of the invigorating second wind of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Now, the term second wind, as you probably are aware, refers to the phenomena that long-distance runners receive when they're running a marathon or a long-distance race. Now, what's interesting is that though this experience has been documented for more than 100 years, scientists are still not sure how this occurs. And some scientists believe that it's a buildup of oxygen in your body to counteract the lactic acids in your muscles to counteract that. Others say that it's an endorphin rush that you suddenly get and off you go. And still others say, well, it's just simply a psychological phenomenon that somehow or something takes place inside of you that you suddenly produce a sense of confidence and goodwill and off you go. All right. Now, the term second wind now has entered popular culture, and it has become used as a metaphor of the return of strength or energy that makes it possible to continue in a long activity, such as sports, career, or life, or things like that taking place. Now, I heard an interesting story about the need of second wind. And the story goes like this. It first appeared in a Texas newspaper. And one day, a lady who had a parakeet whose name was Chirpy, because the parakeet kept on singing, and she was vacuuming her house as she'd done many, many times before. And so she decided that she would vacuum out Chirpy's cage. So she opened up the cage, and she'd done this many times, and she was just quietly vacuuming out the bottom of his cage when suddenly the phone rang. Without thinking, she turned around and picked up the phone, and you guessed it, zip, poor old Trippy went down the tube, into the canister, into the vacuum cleaner. She suddenly realized what she'd done, dropped the phone, turned off the vacuum cleaner, opened up the canister, and there was Chirpy, stunned, covered in dust, coughing and spluttering. She grabbed the bird. She raced into the bathroom, turned the tap on, shoved him underneath. 20 liters of water poured down on this poor bird. Realizing what she'd done, she turned around and there was the hot hairdryer. She grabbed it, turned it on high and hot, and boom, it hit poor Chirpy. It just about finished the poor bird off. She then picked up the bird and put him back into the cage. Well, the next day, the newspaper editor heard about this story and he rang up the lady and he began with this concern. He said to the woman, "How is your poor parakeet?" She said, "Well, you know, Chirpy doesn't sing anymore. He just sits there and stares." You know, we can all relate to Chirpy. No doubt Chirpy longed for things to be the way they were, to go back the way they were before he was sucked up in the vacuum cleaner. Chirpy was in need of a second wind in life. I mean, we've all been there. We're happily singing in our cage, going through life, and some idiot turned on the vacuum cleaner. Things haven't been the same since. You know, we go through experiences in life where we long for things to be the way they were, and when we're at that place, we're in the need of a reinvigoration of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Can I have the next PowerPoint, please? In the passage that we've just read, it's a time in the nation of Israel's life when they're in need of the invigorating second wind of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They've been held captive in a foreign land of Babylon, and they're longing for things to be the way they are. And God, through the prophet Isaiah, encourages the Jewish exiles to think about a new beginning. He says these words to them, "Do not remember the former things, neither consider the old." What he's telling them to do is stop dwelling on their present circumstances or upon God's past displays of glory in their midst. God, in this verse, wants their attention to be completely focused on Him. He wants to give them a new beginning and bring them home to the land of out of the land of Babylon to home. Now, sports psychologists tell long-distance runners that when they feel they've exhausted all of their energy, that one of the best ways to get their second wind back in them is to slow down in the pace of the race. Ease back into running your own race you're told to do. This will give your body chance to recover. Don't worry about everybody else, what they're doing. Concentrate on your style of running, your posture, shoulders back, your stride. Concentrate on the rhythm of running, breathing, on the whole technique of it. Doing this will recover your own natural rhythm of running and will allow your body to recover, giving the runner the time to recommit themselves to winning the race. And sports psychologists tell them this, that they are then to wait for the second wind. And they tell them that it will come. It's just a matter of time. You know, as I thought about this advice of the psychologist, the words of Isaiah came to me in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. It said, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And the word "wait" in the Hebrew here means to look with eager expectation. However, the word does not mean sitting around doing nothing. The picture word behind this word "wait" is that of actually a person doing something. And the word, the speaker goes back on you, it actually refers to someone binding something. And it's the word used for ladies of binding hair or of weaving a basket. It is to be occupied in a relaxed manner, just as the long-distance runner did not stop to regain their second wind, but keeps focusing, keeps moving in the direction that God has, focusing all of their attention on recovering their own natural rhythm of running while waiting for the second wind to come. So the prophet instructs us to do the same, to keep our attention on God. Yet at the same time, we are not to give up in the journey of life. We are not to slow down. We are not to worry about what else is happening around us. We are to settle into the rhythm of life. And there was a song back about 40 years ago that said, "The rhythm of life was a powerful beat." It's the same thing here. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And the word renew that's used here means to exchange. And it's the word used for taking off old clothes and putting on new clothes. And the word refers to gathering of new strength, of being restored. And as the long-distance runner waits to exchange their weakness and their exhaustion for the second wind of the strength that comes upon them to complete the race, so we are to wait upon the Lord. When we focus our attention upon Him, we exchange our weakness for His power, and we are restored and refreshed. Those who wait upon the Lord are stayers. They don't dwell upon the past, but they focus their attention upon God and will exchange our strength for His strength. Can I have the next PowerPoint, please? Isaiah the prophet cites three promises for those who turn from focusing on the past to focusing their attention upon God. The first is that they will receive energy. Long-distance runners, when they receive their second wind, it's like a burst of energy within inside of them. It's called the runner's high. Now, I do a little bit of running, not a lot, but I've experienced that. It's actually fantastic. Most times I come home from running, I look like the walking dead, but a few times I've experienced the high that comes. You know, the prophet says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And the word mount up here, as you can imagine, suggests a movement from a lower place to a higher place. And the word wings literally means to grow new feathers. And it refers to an eagle losing its old feathers by molting and receiving new ones. And with those new ones comes a new energy and a new strength. And the picture here is of an eagle rising tirelessly above this world and above all the disturbance and all the noise that is undeterred by the events below. A theologian by the name of John James says this, "This beautiful passage contains a promise of the continued supply of grace and strength to all who really desire to serve the Lord." As we wait upon the Lord, the divine energy of the second wind of the Holy Spirit will come upon us. The second promise is enthusiasm. It says, they shall run and not be weary. Running is a picture of enthusiasm. Not being weary speaks of running with lasting enthusiasm. The word weary that's used here means to become unable or unwilling to continue on. It means to reach a point when you can no longer continue on in the same thing over and again. Yet those who wait upon the Lord receive the second wind, and instead of being exhausted, will find new enthusiasm to continue on. No effort will be too much for them. God will pour into our souls enthusiasm and energy for a fresh effort. The third thing is endurance. He says, they shall walk and not faint. And walking speaks of the normal rhythm of life. And the word in Hebrew language actually means the same as it does in English. The word walk just simply means to travel one place to another. Clearly in this context, Isaiah is using this metaphor of walking because it pictures our daily conduct or our daily behavior. The prophet says these words, they shall walk and not faint. And the word faint here means to lack courage or strength or vigor or spirit to continue on. Though life may be arduous and the road long and rugged and difficult, made up of many deep, steep ascents, those who wait upon the Lord will not lose heart, will not lose hope or turn back, but go forward sustained by a power greater than themselves. That is the power of the invigorating Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, just as long-distance runners focus all their attention on recovering the natural rhythm of running and wait to receive the second wind, which brings the energy and enthusiasm and endurance, so we are to wait upon the Lord, focusing our attention upon Him. And when we do this, we receive the second wind of the Holy Spirit that will give us energy, divine enthusiasm, and divine endurance to continue on. Come to the next PowerPoint, please. As I said earlier, the phrase the second wind not only refers to the athletic experience of running, but also now has entered popular culture and has become a metaphor for return of strength or energy, but is also that of embracing a new season in life. And this is what the prophet Isaiah is speaking about. He says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth." And here he's speaking about embracing a new season of change in our life. Rebecca Ramono was a British, or is a British athlete, that caught her second wind and embraced a new season in life. Rebecca Ramono was one of the British national rowing teams. And after making the British Williams quad skull, that's a four rowing team, in Olympic team in 2004, she and a team went on in the athletics in Athens to win a silver medal. However, due to a back injury, she was unable to continue in her rowing career. And it appeared to many that her athletic career was over. However, she did not give up on her love of sport or her athletic career. She decided to take up cycling. And she was so accomplished that she made the Olympic cycling team 4 years later in 2008. And her event is the 3-kilometer pursuit. Now, she shocked the world when she won a gold medal in that event, in the Beijing Olympics. Now, by this achievement, Rebecca Ramone literally wrote herself into the history books. She became the first British woman to ever win 2 medals in 2 different total events. The first one was rowing a silver, and the second was a gold in cycling. The events in Rebecca Ramone's life, that is the injury that stalled her career, opened a new season of change in her life. Everything changed for Rebecca. She was now training and now competing in a new field. Although rowing and pursuit cycling both require a strong lung capacity and endurance, cycling is more of an explosive discipline, using different muscles and capacity. The rules of rowing did not apply in this sport. The rules and tactics that she learned in rowing no longer were part of what she had to do. The old criteria of success, the old guidelines of measuring success, were irrelevant in her life, and it's the same with ours. God is going to change the playing field. The old rules will not apply. God is going to do something new. It's going to be so unheard of, so uncommon, so great, so excellent, that every other great achievement in life will fade into insignificance. God says these words, "Behold, I will do a new thing." And the word "behold" here uses an expression of surprise, that our attention is drawn to something and it requires an action to be taken from that. It doesn't refer to a passing glance, but to continually looking at something to see whether such a thing is possible. You know, when the natural seasons around us change, we marvel at the beauty and the wonder of it. We often stop and look at flowers blossoming or new birds or new animal life coming past, and we marvel at all the possibilities. Yet when change comes in our lives, we often lose sight of the beauty that comes with it. God wants us to stop and to marvel not for a moment, but for an extended period of time and take in the beauty of such wonderful possibilities. God says these words, "Now it shall spring forth." And what it means is that the events are already shaping themselves. Like seeds that have been planted in the ground, spreading out their roots firmly but gently, breaking through the surface of the earth. Those events that we thought had taken the wind out of our sails, they are now breathing life into a new season into our lives. And we are receiving the second wind of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Come to the next PowerPoint, please. The prophet continues, says, "Shall you not know it?" And the word "know" in the Hebrew language is far more than just an intellectual awareness of something. It has to do with giving yourself totally to something. It refers to totally embracing something. Rebecca Ramone's injury brought her into a new season of life where the playing field changed and the old rules did not apply. When she was being interviewed by an interviewer, He asked her, what were the major difference between the two sports? She said, well, in rowing, it was a team sport, and I had to depend upon other people as well as myself. However, she said, in cycling, I had to depend completely upon myself. I had to embrace this new change. If I didn't embrace it, I wouldn't win the gold medal. You know, Isaiah the prophet here, he's just not speaking about a purely prophetic, from a purely prophetic point of view. He himself has been through a major change in life. In the beginning of Isaiah, in chapter 6 and verse 1, he says these words. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw God upon the throne. King Uzziah had died unexpectedly. Uzziah was a king over Israel for more than 50 years, and it was a glorious reign. Israel had grown strong and prosperous during this reign. Then unexpectedly, he died. It shocked Israel. It shocked Isaiah like a physical blow. It seemed like the bottom had been cut out of all of his life. Isaiah was shaken out of his daily routine. He experienced a sense of emptiness and hopelessness and uncertainty that wasn't there before. Yet in the midst of the crisis, he says these words, I see God upon his throne, moving on behalf of his people. The vision was a sign of hope that the events and seasons of time were shaping themselves in a new and unexpected way. God was going to do something new. And then in verse 8 of chapter 6, we hear the voice of God saying these words, who will go for me and who will I send? And here we see taking place that Isaiah immediately embraced the situation. He allowed the second wind of the Holy Spirit to come upon him. And he said these words, here am I, send me, Lord. You know, we need to let us embrace the new seasons in our lives. You know, the cartoonist Charles Schultz, has passed away some years ago, with his character Charlie Brown, has the most simplest and unique way of explaining the great complexities of life. And in one cartoon, he has Lucy sharing her philosophy with Charlie Brown, and Charlie's listening, as usual. Lucy has the floor, and she's delivering one of her lectures. Now, Lucy is sitting back in a deck chair, and Charlie Brown is wrestling with his, trying to get it unfolded. And she starts off the lecture like this. She says, you know, Charlie Brown, life is like a deck chair. Some people face it the way that they're going so they can see where they're going. And other people face it so they can see where they've been. And other people face it so they can see where they are at the present. Charlie Brown sighs, looks down at his deck chair and says, I can't even get mine unfolded. You know, we've all felt like Charlie Brown. That we felt like the here is everyone else sitting in the deck chair enjoying life and we just can't get ours unfolded. There just seems to be some obstacles that we just cannot overcome. In this passage in Isaiah chapter 43 verses 19 to 20, by the means of most beautiful and figurative language, Isaiah the prophet under the anointing of God describes the revolutionary character of the new season, the second wind of change that comes in our lives. He says these words, that God will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It doesn't say that God will take away the wilderness, but make a way. Wilderness and deserts are very difficult places to travel. Such journeys are arduous, difficult, exhaust us, and fill us with a sense of hopelessness. Yet, how different that journey is when a road is carved through it. The road brings with it a sense of hope and expectation of something good at the other end. And the sight of the river, well, it's just something that pleases the soul. Deserts and wilderness in the Bible are symbols of obstacles standing in the way of God's blessing upon our lives. They symbolize regions of darkness, and the creatures that live in them symbolize demonic powers of darkness. All of these things trying to rise up to stop God's blessing upon our lives. God wants to draw our attention to the fact that he's already set in motion events in our lives that are so wonderful, that are so marvelous, that will create a transformation where the old criteria of measuring success no longer applies. Life that was once difficult to travel, full of uncertainty, now will have clear direction and hope. As a runner receives a second wind, as Rebecca Romano embraced that new season in life, so let us embrace the change of the second wind of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Have the next part. Next one, please. Thank you. How is this possible? How do I receive the second wind? It's possible because God said so. He continued on in Isaiah 43, and he says these words, that he would give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to drink to my people, my chosen. And Jesus said in John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, whoever believes in him, out of their heart will flow living waters. And here he spoke of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon believers on the day of Pentecost. And we know from the scriptures and from our experience that as the disciples waited in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came. Came as a mighty blast of wind from heaven sweeping through that whole place. And they all spoke in tongues as the Spirit empowered them. The phenomenon of wind is a symbol of the divine presence, vastness, and spiritual power of the Holy Spirit, not brought about by device and manipulation, but as a free gift of God. You know, as I was thinking about this profound truth and a new era coming upon us, I remembered the story, The King's Speech. Some of you may have seen that in the year 2010. The movie is a captivating true story about King George VI, who unexpectedly becomes king after his brother's abdication. He now needs to overcome a debilitating stammer and to address his people in a time of impending war against Nazis. The movie depicts the coming of the Second World War and a confrontation between public speaking. On one side of the world, we have Hitler with his historic elocution, and on the dramatic contrast, on the other side, we have the quivering, high-pitched voice of the king. All of England waits for a reassuring word of the king, but he's crippled by this stammer. And as I watched that film, for me, it was quite difficult because I suffered with stammering up until my early 30s. And in the story, what was amazing is that the king's wife secretly sets up a visit with Lionel Logan, an oddball, self-trained Australian speech therapist. And Lionel Logan employs various unorthodox methods to help the king find his voice. He puts the king through a whole series of vocal calisthenics, teaches him to sing, among other things. But as I watched the film, I began to see in many ways this represents the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the two particular statements made by Lionel to the king. Come to the next PowerPoint, please. The first statement is found, takes place during the rehearsal of King George VI's coronation, when Lionel Logan explains to the king his experience of helping First World War soldiers that had returned back to Australia that had trouble in speaking or could not speak because of post-traumatic shock. And he says these words to the king. He says, my job is to give them faith in their own voice, to let them know that a friend is listening. My job is to give them faith in their own voice. Losing faith in our own voice is to be in a position where we need the second wind in our life. Helping the king have faith in his voice opened a new season in the king's life. Lionel encouraged the king to have faith in his own voice, while we have faith in the invigorating power of the Holy Spirit, the second wind of the Holy Spirit to open a new season in our lives. England that time was facing a formidable power of evil, the Nazi regime, waited to hear a reassuring voice of the king to stand up to that threat. So the world today waits to hear a reassuring voice. They wait to hear the message of hope, the message of the gospel in this age. As Lionel Logan used different speech techniques to transform the faculties and the inadequacies of the king, so the power of the Holy Spirit takes hold of our inadequacies and transforms them. As the King of England experienced a quantum leap in his ability to speak, taking from a very shy and stammering and awkward king to a great leader of a nation, so the church, through the power of the Holy Spirit, takes a quantum leap, ignited by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. We receive our voice, enabling us to be victorious over all the powers of darkness that threaten us, our families, our church, and our nation. God wishes to give us such a dramatic transformation in our lives, the second wind of the Holy Spirit. The second line that impacted me comes at the close of the movie. King George is in front of a microphone and he's about to speak upon the radio to the nation. The only other person in the room is Lionel with him. And as they began to speak, he says these words to the king. He says, "Tell it to me as you would to a friend. Tell it to me as you would to a friend." And then he leads the king through that speech. And at that moment, we see that there is developed a deep friendship between the king and Lionel. Lionel was alone in the room. Sorry, the king was alone in the room with Lionel. In John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18, Jesus assures us that the Holy Spirit is not only there when we need him, but he's there with us all the time. And Jesus does not describe the Holy Spirit as an abstract form, but as a close, intimate friend. The words that he used in this passage are so amazing. He speaks of the Holy Spirit, Jesus does, as our helper, as our comforter, and our strengthener. Just as Lionel Logan stood as a friend in the broadcasting room as the king delivered his reassuring speech to the nation of England in its darkest hour, so the Holy Spirit stands alongside us as our helper, as our friend, as our strengthener. The Holy Spirit does not work instead of us or in spite of us, but in us and through us, imparting into our being, as it were, a spiritual second wind. This special relationship with the Holy Spirit is available to us today. Come to the final PowerPoint, please. Remember Chirpy? You know, the events of life often leave us wanting for things to be the way they were. And we know that can never happen. We are in need of a second wind of the Holy Spirit, a reinvigoration of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. God wants us to draw our attention to him, to the fact that he's already set in motion events in our lives that are so wonderful, that are so marvelous, with the old criteria of measuring success no longer apply. It's going to be so unheard of, so uncommon, so excellent that everything else that we have done and accomplished as a church and as individuals in our life will seem to just fade into significance. And God does a wonderful work. As we wait and focus our attention upon the Lord, we receive that second wind, that divine energy, that divine enthusiasm and endurance to continue on that comes from the very presence of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to embrace this new season in our lives that he has for us. Let us embrace this change of the second wind of the Holy Spirit, the invigorating power of the Holy Spirit. And so through this invigorating power, the second wind of the Holy Spirit, a whole new season arrives. God has something special for each of us as we step into this new year. Something so wonderful, so marvelous, that everything else that we have done will just fade into significance. He has a blessing upon our lives. Bless the Lord. Can we have the musicians just come? Just stand, please. As we step into the year 2020, there'll be lots of sermons. I think we'll be around the number 2020, 2020 vision and so on, all those things that go. But you know, every year is a greater opportunity, no matter what number it's called, to embrace a new change in our life, to take on something new that God wants to do. But before we step into that place, we need to be ready for that. And what better way to be ready for it than to have the Holy Spirit come and touch us again, to pour out a fresh blessing upon our lives, to strengthen us in our inner being and in our inner part as we step out into a new year and a new adventure and all the things that we know before us and things that we don't know that are before us. But these things are ordained by God, He's doing a marvelous work in our lives and in this church and in this nation and in our families. Things that we can't see at the moment, but things that will break forth and multiply far greater than we can ever imagine, that we can ever experience. But God has something special for us. And I want to just open the altar as our singers are just singing. If you would desire just to come and just feel the presence of God upon your life, a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon your life, as I hand back to Pastor Graham, that as we step into this year, that God would be with us. He's always been with us, and He will continue to be with us. We've got a presence of His Lord upon us. Bless God. Sorry.